Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, the significance of Al-Quds Day. How should we spread the message to improve support of these days?
It has been 30 years since Imam Khomeini declared the last Friday of Ramadan to be Al-Quds Day. He said, "It is the day for the weak and oppressed to confront the arrogant powers. Al-Quds Day is the day of Islam." Ever since then, there have been demonstrations and events held all over the world to express solidarity with oppressed people across the globe, regardless of their religion and ethnicity. The numbers of demonstrations grow every year. The ideology of the day draws upon the essence of the month of Ramadan, which are sacrifice, patience, charity, and contemplation. People of the Middle East, South Asia, and other parts of Asia, Africa, and more recently South America, have supported Al-Quds Day by holding protests. And now the cry for humanity has even reached Western shores as the message continues to grow in strength and popularity. Today on Islam and Life, we ask, Al-Quds Day, how should we spread the message to improve support of this day?
It's an important question. Al-Quds Day, the day of Jerusalem for the Muslims, while we are fasting and during the last week of Ramadan, to remember the religious significance for Muslims of Al-Quds, and also, of course, of what is happening today in Palestine, what is happening for the Palestinians being oppressed with no rights. We heard about what happened in Gaza last year. We heard what happened to the people who were non-violent, you know, protesters, and they were being killed on the flotilla. This was in this year as well. And all these events are letting us come back to the very essence of first, why are we fasting as Muslims, and the religious dimension, but not only. There is a religious dimension. It's quite important for the Muslims to understand the centrality of Jerusalem in their belief, but also the political discussion and in which way we can spread the message that the Palestinians today are oppressed, and there is something which has to do with justice, religious rights, and political acknowledgement of their rights as human beings, as citizens. Well, to answer all these questions, I'm joined by Arzu Mirali, one of the founders and member of the Islamic Human Rights Commission. Thank you for being with us. Let us come to first, Al-Quds Day, which is the day of Jerusalem. Why is it important? What is the how do you see the significance of this day for the Muslims? Yeah, and not only, by the way, not only the Muslims.
I think there are so many aspects of this that we could unpack, but I think it's important to remember we're talking about 30 years now, and that in itself is an achievement, to have an annual event which draws in both a huge religious dimension, ultimately in a very secular era, as well as promoting rights and truth and justice. And as you said, it's not just about Muslims. There is a huge, you know, it's a deeply universal movement. We heard that this is the day of Islam, and actually it's important for us, if we're going to talk about the importance to Muslims, to understand that through that message of universality, we're looking at Islam as not some kind of appendage, but as a normative way, a way of moving forward, of struggling, of sacrificing for humanity, actually, you know, to go beyond any kind of parochial notion of who you are or what a community is.
But I think it's quite important, and what we heard in the clip is also quite important. The day of the Quds Day, it's also the day of the oppressed, and this is why we are saying it's the day of Islam, because Islam and the Muslim, the Islamic principles are always to protect the oppressed, to support
that's
them.
That's where the universality is, because ultimately in the Quran we are commanded. In various places, particularly Surah An-Nisa, to stand up for the oppressed.
Yes.
You know, regardless of who they are, the ayah itself, which I cannot quote verbatim, but clearly says, you know, stand up for the oppressed who are calling out for a helper. It doesn't matter who they are, and it also doesn't matter who's oppressing them. You know, it could well be a Muslim oppressing them. And so that aspect is very clear. What has happened is that, unfortunately, we also live in an era where Muslims and the world population per se live in a sort of a chauvinistic, particularist sets of movements. So we are not just fighting against, if you like, the oppression committed on a physical level, but also the kind of ideas that are segregating people, which are sort of forcing people not only apart, but actually sometimes to commit egregious acts, whether as individuals or as states, communities, however you wish to see it.
But I think what is important in our discussion now, because we are speaking about the Al-Quds Day, which is coming during Ramadan, many people could have the perception from outside, once again, these Muslims are making it a religious discussion, only Muslims protecting or supporting Muslims. Again, you know, another religion, and the perception is once again, is the Palestinian conflict is Muslims against Jews, it's Islam against Judaism, which is not the case. And I think we have to make it clear here, what is the significance and what you are you start to see, which is quite important, is the relationship between these days and struggling for more justice in the world, regardless of the religion of the people who are oppressed. But for the Muslims now, because it's quite clear, we cannot deny this, that there is a sentiment among the Muslims around the world that this is something which is very close to the Islamic principle, that we have to support Palestinians, and this is why we are connecting it to Jerusalem. So how would you explain this to make it clearer for Muslims and non-Muslims that we should not be obsessed with only the Islamic dimension of it, while the Islamic dimension still remains important?
If you mean by this obsession with Islamic element, if you mean the idea that we are standing up for Palestinians because we perceive them to be some block of Muslims, then I think, you know, at least to the Quds days that I've been to, which is sort of over the last 15, 20 years, you will hear time and again from the platform that this is about struggling for those who are oppressed, and yes, the vast majority of Palestinians may well be Muslim, but that is also in some ways incidental. Obviously, you have some kind of special feeling and identification that just comes up when you share certain beliefs and values, but that doesn't mean that you only protect them. That message is there. Unfortunately, there are all sorts of isms and ideas going on, and anybody can put those onto Quds Day, they can put it onto everything else, and that is, as I said, that's part of the struggle. It's the struggle of the idea. Actually bringing that through and taking people on a journey, you know, because the last thing you need to do is cause more schism and say, well, you know what, you haven't got it, you're not on the march, you're not part of Quds Day. It's actually taking people on that journey. As you said, there's that polarized idea of this being about Muslim versus Jew. Year on year, particularly in Western Europe, you'll see many Jews participating in this march. It's multi-faith, and it's also non-faith, if you like. There are people from all sorts of communities. So yes, there are perceptions. And I actually think, as people who are organizers or whatever, we should not perhaps be so obsessed about addressing them, because if you actually get the idea across, then people join and people prove those to be wrong.
But I would say on this, it's also important to acknowledge the fact that there is a religious factor in the whole discussion, that, you know, as Muslims, we care about Jerusalem, and it's part of something which is within our tradition, in Isra wal Mi'raj.
It's the first Qibla.
Exactly.
It has that significance, and yes, that is the focus, and there are many of those dimensions which make this a very symbolic focus. Ultimately, it's after an Islamic revolution, the Islamic revolution. It is about the divine in a secular world. It does have all of those aspects to it. But what I've been trying to say is that whilst those aspects pertain to the religion of Islam and Muslims, the universal aspect, that struggle for justice, is also what comes through, as you said. It's the day of Islam, it's the day of the oppressed. Loving the oppressed and helping the oppressed, whoever they are, is fundamental. It's part of that whole system. You know, if Jerusalem is the first Qibla, it's also the symbol of that movement.
Yes, the international and the universal symbol of justice. But I would say that, you know, very often, you know, as a Muslim scholar or a thinker, I'm asked about this, and people are trying often to say, you know, it's either a religious issue or a political issue. And I would say there is a religious dimension which is within the political issue, because at the end of the day, it has to do with politics and it's a political issue. But the religious dimension here is for the Muslims to get a clear idea of what they want when they speak about Jerusalem, when they speak about the first Qibla, when they speak about something which is central to their religion. What they are saying is, our way of solving it is to acknowledge the fact that there are rights for the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims to Jerusalem. And it cannot be under the authority of one religion and saying you don't have right to the holy sites. It's for us also to call upon the Christians to have a voice, to be more vocal in the fact that this is also part of their religion. And then by coming with all these voices, and as you said, rabbis are, you know, attending this Quds Day to support the struggle for more justice, is to say, this is our religious answer to this problem. The Quds Day is saying, same rights to all the religions and all the religious people to have access to the holy sites, and this has to do with justice and equal freedom and equal acknowledgement of the rights. It's an answer to what is coming from today, a state saying it's a Jewish state with specific rights for Jews and not for Christians and not for Muslims and not for non-religious people. This is also a religious answer to the question.
There are many, actually, religious answers, and this is where I think it's key that we try and take people on a journey, because sometimes we get rather obsessed as Muslim activists of having the solution to the problem and endlessly discussing. And I think one of the things about this being the Day of Islam is that you're taking people on a journey, and it's sometimes a bit dangerous to be prescriptive. I mean, we all have quite a lot of ideas and solutions around one state, two state, what is the secular, you know, religious, whatever kind of description.
But before going to the solutions,
yes,
just as a principle.
You need to have some kind of momentum, if you like, and a kind of acknowledgement of each other's humanity. And, you know, that is a religious aspect. I mean, I think that's where perhaps we slightly collide, in that there is a difference of something being religious and normative and something which is pinned to the religious identity of a person or peoples. And the normative aspect of Quds Day is there to take people on that journey. You know, it should not, and I don't think really it has descended into a, we are Muslims, we want this place kind of scenario. At the same time, you know, the conversation about the solution should be ongoing, you know, and we need to be struggling to remove the apparatus of the injustice and work towards those collaborative solutions.
Yes. I agree on that, but I was not talking about the solutions. I was talking about the principles at the very beginning of our discussion. If we make it an Islamic issue, and it is an Islamic issue, it's a religious issue, is for us not to say, we want Jerusalem for us. This is not what the Muslims are saying. What the Muslims are saying is, we want these places to be free for all the religions, because there is something which is rooted in the Islamic tradition, which is to acknowledge the very existence of Judaism and Jews and Christians. This is what I was talking about. Now, which kind of solutions? There are lots of solutions, lots of proposals, and as you said, this is going from on the journey of, you know, talking to each other, coming to have a better understanding of what is happening on the ground. But I'm not talking about this. I think that it's quite important to come with principles at the beginning of, if we spread the Quds Day and we want it to be spread around more and more and more understood, is the principles is equal rights for all the religions. It's not to take over or taking over for one religion. It's not an Islamic response by saying, we will take over. No, we want the same rights for all the people. The principle is this one.
So that, I mean, certainly, and I don't think you can accuse Quds Day of this, although people may want to put that idea on it, that there's some kind of, you know, mirror image of what exists as the so-called Jewish state. And it's much more than that. And in terms of spreading that message, that should be there. And I accept what you're saying about the principled aspect of it. We have to also remember that it's beyond just those three communities in terms of people who want to live there. Many people categorize themselves as secular or non-believers or whatever.
Exactly, yes.
And we need to also factor that issue in. And, you know, we have these traditions, albeit in a very kind of muddled Muslim history, but we also have principles as to how to live with each other, whatever your belief system. So, you know, I'd probably slightly extend it beyond the three religions that you've mentioned, but now I'm starting to impose my sorts of ideas on it as well. I think the aspect of the discussion is what is so key, because ultimately if it's going to be about, you know, this is my idea of it, there will be less and less people every year on Quds Day. I'm glad to say that particularly the last 5 years or so, it's been reversing any kind of trend of moving
away. But this is the problem. The problem is that to be on the side of the oppressed is also to come with a better understanding of the principles that we are sharing. And that what we are saying about, you know, non-religious and atheists or agnostics, and in the way that it's the equal rights for the people. It's to be able to say that religions have a say in the discussion. This is what we are saying. And that
I think that on the principle... Those religions have more than three voices. So,
sorry?
Those three religions that you've cited have more than three voices.
But the point, the starting point of the discussion, mm-hmm. the Quds Day during Ramadan is still an Islamic, it's coming from Muslims first. But mm-hmm. the point is that many could have the perception and the understanding, oh, because it's coming from Muslims, because it's an Islamic or religious, proposal or vision, it's going to be religious and only focused on Muslims. And what I wanted to say here is that it's not this. It's wider than that. And, of course, I spoke about the three main monotheistic religions because mm-hmm. of Al-Quds. But what you are saying about, equal rights also for people who have no religion or are not part of these religions could also be brought into the principles at the beginning, because the point is that if we want it to be understood more and more by people, and especially now when we speak about the oppressed, is to come with these principles as the starting point of our discussion. Now, the second step of this is how could we spread it around with a better understanding of what we want to do, and you cannot do this if you are not clear on the principles at the beginning. So I would say that how do you see now a step forward after what happened, and especially mm-hmm. during the last 2 years? Mm-hmm. Because this is quite clear around the world that there is a turning point here. After Gaza and the killing of innocent people, and then after killing innocent people and civilians, they killed pacifists and people coming with no weapons and mm-hmm. saying, we want to stop the blockade of Gaza. And they did what they did. So how could we now use all this, what we are saying now, to go a step further and to support the oppressed?
In some ways, that turning point that you spoke about, those acts actually served that question, if you like, because now there is an understanding, there has been for some years now, that idea of the crazy militant, whatever, Muslim, actually can be a government, it can be an oppressed government, and actually have ethical value. Okay, so that has turned around in itself. And I think where I'd be concerned is that we obsess too much about trying to prove the point. Nobody is perfect and no movement is perfect, but their actions do speak for themselves.
Yes,
of course, we want to promote the idea as much as possible, but it shouldn't be at the expense or trying to sort of, if you like, be a New Labour and spin it. We want to actually say, look, you have this in all its imperfection, and all it's actually quite exciting glory, because to see that kind of unanimity between secular Jewish communities, Orthodox Jewish communities, Muslims, Christians, socialists, whoever, on a similar platform worldwide is in itself all about the exciting nature of being a transnational citizen in this era. If anything, it plugs into that feeling of wanting to change the world in a globalized sense, more so now than, say, 30 years ago. 30 years ago, that idea of being a transnational citizen, why are people jumping up and down in Dhaka or London or whatever about Palestine? It was very strange then. It's not so strange now. In some ways, it's been the precursor to this.
This is my point. I think that it's not to promote a day per se, is to promote the substance, the essence of the message. What are we trying to achieve here? And we are talking about the oppressed around the world and the Palestinians because of what is happening, just in front of us. We see it every day, is that they are oppressed and the blockade is just unacceptable. And it was said and repeated even by the international community, so to speak, and people saying, yes, because this was said even by, the British Prime Minister went to the Middle East and he said this is unacceptable. This is politics. We know that. Now, the point for us as citizens and as Muslims during this last week of Ramadan, we want the essence, the message to be understood. And as I was saying, I think it's quite important to be able to say at the same time, look, my religious take on this is respect for all the religions, and Al-Quds should be freed from any kind of oppression and discrimination towards anybody. This is the starting point. This is my religious answer. And now my political involvement is to act and to from us outside, pacifist way to make it clear that there is oppression and there are people being killed, civilians being oppressed in this country. So we need to come to the substance, the message of it.
I think in some ways what you're talking about, the political action, it has existed. It has been existing around Quds Day, and it has been existing for all this amount of time. So I don't think this is a second step. I think this is a step that's been going on.
Yes.
In Western Europe, it was still relatively strange to see any kind of demonstration for Palestine.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, mashallah, we have seen huge demonstrations in the last few years. And in some ways, it's the fact that people around the world were going out year on year, sometimes in hundreds, sometimes in hundreds of thousands. I mean, if you go to see some of the Quds Days in Nigeria, you're looking at 1 million-plus people coming out on the streets, whereas you may only see 2,000 in some years in London. All those movements made the other movements possible. All those protests made all those 20-odd protests a year and more now in major capitals around the world possible. So we should also look at, if you like, retrospectively, about how that message passes along. Now, somebody from a certain demonstration is not going to sit there and go, oh, you know what, it's because of Quds Day 30 years ago that I'm here. They may not even know about Quds Day. But the fact that all that activism has been going on worldwide made it easier, both in a practical sense and in a conceptual sense. Because, you know, even 10 years ago or so, it was really, you know, you were going to be accused of all sorts of things, of having some kind of demonstration like this. It is not the case now. People will find it much easier to go out and express what is that very fundamental burning pain they see when they see Palestinians being oppressed. Palestine is the symbol, and in some ways the most important symbol, but that doesn't mean that they are the only oppressed people. And you'll see at one and the same time that oppressed peoples around the world also march on Quds Day. The beauty of it is that even the oppressed support each other.
Thank you so much for these points. I think that during this discussion we have been able to come back to the very essence of this day, which is Al-Quds Day, it's the day of the oppressed. And then it's yes, coming from an Islamic perception and understanding, but it's the universality of it is really to care about the oppressed around the world. And of course, here, as a symbol of the oppressed, the Palestinians of today, after what happened in Gaza, what happened with the flotilla, it's this is really the symbol. And what you said, which is quite important, is if we look at the last 30 years, we can see the improvement and the awareness around the world of people, Muslims and non-Muslims, coming together. So the religious dimension cannot be neglected, but at the same time, it's really to take it as something which is helping us to get to the universal principles that we are sharing, to speak about the Palestinians today who are oppressed, and to speak about their rights, and to speak about the religious rights. And for the Muslims, the non-Muslims, the Jews, the Christians, and the non-believers as well, they have the rights to be, and they have the right to be respected. And then the most important thing for us today is really to look at what is happening, and the positive note of the last your last remark is quite important. Things are improving, the people are understanding better, so let us hope that this is to be continued, and that we can carry on the message that we should be on the right of the oppressed. And this is the very essence of Islam. Whatever is your religion, Muslims with their principles should be on the side of the oppressed and resisting oppression throughout the world. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Arzu Mirali. Thank you so much for being with us and with all these things and your experience on this Quds Day for us today. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.